This is the only rugby league podcast where we discuss all things rugby league with me, Callum.
With me, Bobby.
And me, Andy.
And still, EM62 and beyond.
Good evening. Well, afternoon, actually. Good afternoon.
Yeah, we were a little bit earlier than planned recording this week, aren't we?
We are.
If any massive only in rugby league news comes out this afternoon, well, we're knackered, aren't we?
Yeah, it's gone next week.
It is. Are we recording early because?
You and I are off to see Paul Weller later on, aren't we?
Yeah, the mod father.
Should be good. I've never seen Paul Weller before. He's the one that I've not seen.
I have. Be good. But
yeah.
We went through the set list and, well,
it's not a classic set list. Finishes strong.
Yeah, then, yeah.
But, you know.
Crescendo.
Just, yeah.
Pretty much the opposite to the pod when we get Brian.
Yeah.
It's fair, that's your fault for having on after only in rugby league.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's that follow that, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So what else has been happening this week?
Well, I was right about the Masters.
You stuck your neck out. And that
I
was
told
it,
you, I was not going to stick my neck on the line because Scotty Scheffler was going to win it.
Yeah. And nobody picked Ian Maximus, did they, for the National?
I did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I had him to win.
I think the best I had was that Galvin each way, yeah, about 50-1.
I had nowhere. And nowhere in the Masters and just nowhere again.
I didn't put a Masters one on.
I had Ironman Maximus, I had Manila Rindo, he finished third, and I had that Kitty's Light, he finished fifth.
Alright.
Oh, well. So what have we got on tonight then, Callum?
Well, tonight, Matthew, we've got the Challenge Cup quarter final review.
Sorry, that tickled me.
We've got the Challenge Cup quarter final review. NRL only in rugby league, predictions league, all your usual favourites.
Stats?
Question mark.
Because?
Asterisks. Asterisks.
Why is that?
Well, because we've had to change the time. Somebody forgot that we'd changed the time.
Yeah.
And we're still in bed, so.
And hadn't done his stats.
Yeah.
So
I'm not naming names.
But it's the guy that does the stats.
Yeah.
I like to get up and just let it come to me, but I was rushed. So.
Well, let's see. Let's see if he has any by the time that stats.
Maybe
come
we
home.
Should publicly shame him like Derek Beaumont and Lee's Twitter.
You publicly shame me every week. There's no difference.
Yeah, but you're faceless.
Yeah, but you don't learn.
You're faceless, so it doesn't matter.
I'm not faceless.
You don't learn off it. Let's see if Lee's Twitter has learned about it. So that's all I'm saying.
There's so much to love about rugby league in this part of the world, and more than just the pork rolls at Warrington and the pies at Wigan. There's tradition and history and great grounds and great fans, and then there's the weather. And if you don't like it, well, you just have to put up with it. Tough titties.
Yes, it is Challenge Cup week, and we were in the quarterfinals. So kicking off the quarterfinals this week was Hull KR and Lee. And it was Hull KR who came away with a victory, 26 points to 14 over the Leopards.
Yeah, I know they got one right at the end, didn't they? Rovers, so it's slightly more flattering than it was.
It was a really good game.
Yeah.
It was in the balance until 10 minutes to go, really, when the
Evels went over, didn't he?
And that was, I think Lee will be, they'll be really disappointed with that because it was a really, really soft try.
It was a soft try. Lee were miles better, though. You said last week, Andy, that they had to win this even just to try and get a bit of a roll on to start the season and things like that. But they gave it a good shot. Hull KR are in fine form and were just better than them on the day, just.
So, in regards to what I said about having to win to get a roll on, have they done enough to turn around? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. They didn't have a bad game, I don't think, did they? So I think that they'll probably, I think they should kick on. It's not like it was a poor effort, was it? The effort was there.
Yeah, but we said this last time when they got when they beat was it Hull? They put 50 on Hull and then they had a really good game against Featherstone in the cup, but they haven't done anything since then.
Mm. And they've got Warrington away this week.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get any easier for them the next few weeks. Doesn't get any easier for them, does it? But it's a nice
at least
starting.
At least there was fight there.
Yeah, that's what
and,
I mean. It's,
I mean, they were always, for the majority of the game, on the back foot. They were, the majority of the game, they were chasing the game.
Mm.
But they stayed in it.
Yeah.
They stayed in the game, which I think is the most important thing at the minute for them.
Yeah, and against a really good side as well. You know, it's not like they've had a decent game against... out now.
Hull. Yeah. Mikey Lewis came into his own. He took the game by the scruff of the neck in the second half, I thought.
Yeah, he's a quality player, isn't he? They've done well to get him tied down and sort of back off any interest from over here and probably overseas as well. So, but no, he's really coming into his own and he's really leading the team around and he's becoming one of the best stars in the league, isn't he?
Yeah. Do you think Unkar still go under the radar a little bit? Or is that completely and utterly gone now?
No, like, I think teams are quite scared about playing them.
Yeah.
Or wary of them anyway. Like, so they'll say nobody will say they're scared of them, are they? But
I suppose my question is that you've got, like, let's say you've got a Wigan and you've got Saints and you put Warrington in that bracket now compared to what they've done. You might say Leeds, even though they're going through a tougher task. Do you put Hull KR in that group of what you would call a big four or five, if you like? Catalans, I've missed them out really, but
yeah. No, I don't think at the minute they are top five.
Yeah,
but if you're talking overall, they're probably just outside that because they've not won anything.
Aston Villa.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's probably a good example at the minute.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to play them. But well, would you, how much money would you put on them getting past Wigan in the semis?
Did it last year.
I'm just saying.
The thing
that's
is...
last year.
No, I know. But the thing is... Have they announced the grounds yet? I might have missed this.
No, I don't think so.
They've not announced the grounds yet, right. So, the thing is that when they get... The OKR fans are amazing. When they're in a semi-final like that, and let's be honest, for a team of Wigan's size, they don't tend to go to the cup very well, do they? You would expect Wigan to have probably more fans than OKR, but the last few seasons, OKR have turned any kind of cup venue into a home game for them. And that crowd is massively different in a situation like that. And
I still wouldn't be putting a lot of money on them to get past them. I'm not saying they can't, just wouldn't be backing them.
Fair enough. I wouldn't completely rule it out. I'll be honest.
No, I'm not completely ruling it out.
No.
But Wigan will obviously go into the match favourites.
Oh, yeah, clearly, yeah.
I imagine heavy-ish favourites.
Yeah.
So,
they
are, in answer to your question, they are top five at the minute, but I think they're just probably just outside that.
Okay, they could probably be spurred on to go one better as well after last time.
Yeah. I mean, it's what is it 1985 since the last won a trophy?
Yeah,
a major one.
But after last year, when they should have won the cup last year, really.
I think so.
In the final, I think they should have won that game. They might be just be spurred on to do that one more again. It's a real aim for them, I think.
They've got a really good chance of doing it, but yeah. You know, it's probably the semi-final they won't want.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, moving on to our next game, which just so happens to be Hull KR's semi-final opponents in Wigan. Yeah, who beat the Castleford Tigers 60-6.
Bit of a mismatch.
Yeah, it's 66-point thriller. mauled them.
Yeah. Tigers mauled.
Tiger joke. Yeah.
I like that. It's good, that.
Thanks, yep. They won't like it. But, I mean, what can you say?
Not a lot, really.
I mean, the defense, some of the defensive stuff from Castleford was just abysmal.
Yeah.
Absolutely abysmal.
Well, there's a league fixture the same this week, Wigan at home.
Yeah.
Will Castleford do worse or better this week?
Depends if Wigan feel like they want to rotate things about and still get a win.
I mean, it was 28-0 before you could blink, really.
Yeah, and I think they'd only been about 25 minutes, and they'd had more points than time gone at one point.
Because we had it on the radio, we listened to it on the radio, and it was just like, it's gone. Just on that point about the radio, it's like, it's quarter final of the Challenge Cup, and we've got two of the four games televised. I find that ridiculous.
From a company that's just taken some Super League as well.
Yeah, the show?
Yeah.
Super League?
No, BBC. Sorry. He's actually won rights over a Channel 4 to take. So, like, you would expect more rugby league on BBC, and instead we're getting less.
And they've scrapped a Super League show.
It's ridiculous. It's even less.
But just on that, you'd think there'd be other broadcasters, wouldn't you, that would show the other. You know, you think all four games would be on the. On the television.
I don't see why they couldn't have done all four games on the BBC, to be honest. Yeah. But
on the red button or anything. Mm. I just find that ridiculous, to be quite honest. But anyway, back to that. But there's not much. There's not
probably more interesting talking about that, to be honest.
I say it every week in his senior.
I mean,
he's like the pod player of the year, isn't he?
Well, for you, he is.
He is.
He's a good player. He's a good player. He's got plenty of speed, and I'm sure Castleford will want him there permanently.
Can't see that.
I think somebody bigger might come in for him.
So do I. Yeah. Side near the top, looking for pace, somewhere like that, perhaps. Yeah. I don't know. Should we gloss over this one? Because there isn't actually that much to say, is there?
Not really. I mean, they ran rampant, and some of the tries that they scored were just easy. They didn't really do anything absolutely spectacular. They've just got bags and bags of pace, haven't they? The way that they flow the ball, the way that they whip the ball out wide, the speed that they do it at absolutely kills teams.
They were on a completely different level.
Yeah.
Absolutely different level, especially... French, Marshall and Wardle.
Yeah.
I thought were a completely different class from the bits that I listened to and the bits that I saw in the highlights.
Yeah.
It just seemed to break free at will.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They did.
Nothing else to say on it.
Not really.
Okay, so moving on from that one, we go to the south of France, where there was probably a shock result for most people. Catalan 6, Huddersfield 34.
Not for most people, though, as we're about to find out, I think, Callum, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right. We've got word from Nathaniel, who is our Huddersfield Giants fan, who's been on the pod before. So,
can I just mention as well, Nathaniel started his own Huddersfield Giants podcast as well.
Oh, has
it? It's called Talking with Giants. He says the club have been really supportive with him as well. And he's hoping to get like Ian Watson on and things like that. They've been really supportive. So if you've got any inclination for anything, Huddersfield Giants, or just want an extra Rugby League podcast to listen to, then check Nathaniel's out. Talking with Giants.
Excellent. Well, this is what Huddersfield Giants Nathaniel had to say then.
Hi guys, Nathaniel here, Huddersfield Giants fan. I didn't make it out to Catalan at the weekend, unfortunately, but apparently was
very good to someone who was out there and the best we've played in a few years, so that's very good to see and good to hear. It just proves that what I've been saying to a few of the Giants fans throughout the year, that, you know, apart from Wigan and Saints, who in my opinion the top two in the league, we can beat anyone else in this league, and fortunately though for us, we can lose to anyone else in this league. That's just the sort of team we are. I know Callum says he's annoys us because we're very frustrated, get very frustrated in winning and losing, but we are. We can look like a top four team one week, and the week after we'll look like a bottom four team. So I sort of agree that we are a very, very frustrating team to watch, especially when you're a Giants fan, because obviously we just want to be a top four team altogether. But of good performance, I actually said when the draw was made that I fancied his chances out there and going to win there. We have a decent record out in Catalan, so I'm quite positive going to the game, but I never expected to win by 30 points. So, or whatever it was like that. Not many teams will go out to Catalan and win, never mind win by 30 points. So it shows what sort of side we are this year. I think Water's actually got us clicking. I know we've only played the bottom four teams in the league and the recently, but we've put 50 points on them and we don't normally do that, so that's quite pleasing the way we're going in the league. So couldn't have been sat in the top six in a semi-final of the Challenge Cup. I actually think it's a really good start, but we've got a big test in the next 4 weeks. We know with the likes of St Helens away, Leeds away, Wigan at home to play, so Salford away, I think. So we've got some big tests coming up just before that semi-final game. Buzzing that we've got Warrington, no offence to them, but I'd rather them than St Helens or Wigan. I'd prefer OKR, but not to be. But yeah, Warrington, they're a good team. They played well on the weekend against St Helens and deserved the win. And if they play like that, then and we played at Catlin, I'm sure it's going to be a really good game in the semis. But fingers crossed we'll do it again. And I said on the beginning of the season, we'll win the Challenge Cup. And I'm going to stick by it. Only 160 minutes to go. So cheers, guys. Have fun.
Well, there we go. I think the biggest thing to take away from that is that I was right.
The annoying Nathaniel as well.
Yeah. They would though, wouldn't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Go Catalan definitely. And put 34 points past him.
Yeah. There's a few things to take out of this one. I read all sorts this week that, yeah, Catalan didn't try because they have to subsidise like the Challenge Cup and everything like that, so they weren't really trying.
Mm.
It's not right though, is it?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Disappointing crowd, because usually you go to the south of France and it's absolutely bouncing the stadium.
Yeah, it is, and I think crowds overall have been pretty poor. I think we discussed it in the previous round about them being included in like season tickets and
certainly that magic weekend
and like a magic day, if you like, of Challenge Cup quarterfinals.
If you did the same branding as Magic Weekend,
yeah,
it'd be like cuff, wouldn't it?
And then D,
yeah, D for day, cuff for day,
and then D for day, and then, but yeah, no, you know, the biggest thing now for Huddersfield is, like Nathaniel said, they've got Saints away, Leeds away, Wigan and Salford, who are playing really well at the minute, you know.
I don't think we should underestimate this game, this result, though.
No, not at all. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying the biggest test for them now, the next step for them is to go and get two or three wins out of this next month or so.
There was an answer to the last question we asked at the beginning there as well, because what did Nathaniel say about the draw? Well, I'd rather have Warrington because he said we've got Warrington, I'd avoid Saints and Wigan. I'd rather have OKR, but you can't remember.
Yeah, I found that quite shocking, to be honest.
It just answers what we said.
I mean, to be fair, right, I'm not saying whoever drew Warrington would be going, oh yeah, I'll take, you know,
no.
I'll have that.
But the other three teams. The other three. yeah, that backfired, didn't it, Michael Smith?
Yeah, massively. But the problem is that the four teams that are left in it on any given day could beat anybody.
Yeah, that's right.
As shown by, especially Huddersfield in this result.
And the other three would want Huddersfield now.
Yeah, the other three probably wanted Huddersfield.
Right, yeah.
But... you know, I think there was cheers around from St Helens and Warrington fans when it was pulled out and it was Huddersfield.
Yeah.
Not massive ones, you know, but it's not like you've pulled Hull.
Castleford.
Yeah. But out of the four or the other three, depending on your team, out of the three, them three probably wanted Huddersfield.
Yeah.
But it's a tough one. There's no championship team in, like we've seen in the past, like when Halifax got there a few years ago, or say Castleford and or Hull or Salford maybe, London gone. Like all the teams that are left in it are four really really strong teams.
I mean, listening to Nathaniel there, Huddersfield have definitely improved off last season. He said that Watto's got them clicking, and they want to be a top four side all the time.
Yeah.
They're probably capable of...
They are definitely capable.
They're capable of being top six.
They are definitely capable.
I'm not sure about
I'd even
four.
Push it to top five. They're definitely capable of being top five.
Yeah.
And I always say he's got them clicking, but it doesn't seem to be every week at the minute. So this is what I'm saying now about these next three or four games.
Yeah.
Especially league-wise. These are the games that need to be going, getting a result or putting up a really good game.
Yeah, but really good performance.
Yeah.
Well done the Giants there, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Well done the Giants.
Absolutely, yeah.
Moving on to our last game. It was at the Totally Wicked Stadium where Saints fell to Warrington 31-8.
Yeah, I think this one was a shock as well. Not so much the winner, but the scoreline.
And the manner.
And the manner of which it came, yeah. But we've got both notes from Daniel from You've Got a Loose Wire and Johnny Lou for this one. So where do you want to start with this one?
Opposite sides of the coin. I think you start with the winners.
Okay, we'll start with the winners. And here's Daniel from You've Got a Loose Wire.
It was certainly a fantastic performance from Wire this weekend against St Helens. I'm not necessarily sure if it was quite as unexpected as some people have perhaps claimed it to be. I think probably the margin of victory, yes, but I think it's gone under the radar that Wire have played pretty well against St Helens for quite some time now without actually winning, which, you know, whether that means anything or not, I don't know. But I was thinking back and it's probably going on 5 years since we were given a good seeing to by Saints. We're always competitive in games against them, but what we did this weekend was we struck really well. When there was a chance, we took it. You know, the finishing was good. The execution of the moves was good. Williams, Dufty, Ashton, Thewlis, really good performances. Hayes was good. What surprised me most is how well we went toe-to-toe with St Helens in the forward pack. I knew that Saints' attack hasn't been firing under their coach, but I didn't think that we would be able to cope with the likes of Wormsley and people like that. But, you know, James Harrison was tremendous. I think he's had such a good start to the season for Wire. So it's a really, really impressive victory. And, you know, I kind of struggle to get too excited about the Challenge Cup just because I don't really like the idea that winning two games and suddenly you're in a semi-final. I think there's a wider point about the future of the Challenge Cup, maybe bringing in like a two-legged semi-final or something. But thinking just about this year, Wire have got a good chance to get to the final now. Huddersfield are obviously a decent side and they got a good win against Catalans, wasn't it? But, you know, Wire are playing well. Sam Burgess has done a good job so far. And, you know, I think if I was a St Helens fan, I think I'd be quite disappointed with my team's performance at the weekend because, once again, they've not really seemed to fire an attack under Wellens in the big games. Whereas Wire look to be on the up a little bit now. It's important now that Wire don't believe in their own hype and keep going and attack the next few league games with the same kind of vigour and determination that they did at the weekend, because tactically they were excellent and they matched that with the work rate, their efficiency and their effort, and that's what got them such a good performance and result.
Well, that was Daniel, Warrington fan from You've Got a Loose Wire. Obviously, really, really happy with the result. And I think the big thing there, as he mentioned, was that they matched Saints in the pack. That's been a big, big platform for Saints over the last couple of years. With the attack not being brilliant, the pack has really led the way. And they did, they matched them, and the pack matched them, and then they absolutely just burnt them for pace out wide. Matty Ashton, George Williams, absolutely just ran them ragged, didn't they? Yeah.
One thing that I did pick up on there that Daniel said was that he was saying that the record against Saints has vastly improved over the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And like he's right, because if you look at the last, let's just go back a little bit in some of these results. I'll do Saints first, yeah, just Saints first. So 16-8, 18-6, 24-20, 28-6, 12-10, 28-2, 24-14, 2-6, 0-19, 30-12, 21-10, 38-12,
13-18,
going back. So there's still not many Warrington wins in it.
No.
But it's not like it used to be. And the tide, I think, is definitely turning in that fixture.
Yeah, I think so. The for me, when he said it, I agreed with that. I think off the top of my head, you know, especially in playoff and knockout games, they seem to have got the better of them. You know, they beat them at Wembley. They beat them in a quarter final a couple of years ago. Obviously, they beat them in this one. They had the playoff match at Saints I think it was about 2018. Harbour was
there.
Mentioned
the one at Wembley.
Yeah, mentioned it. Wembley. So they seem to, in the really important games, definitely have got the better of Saints over the last few years.
Yeah. You mentioned then, I mean, I thought Matty Ashton ripped Saints apart.
Yeah, he definitely did.
And I think he really exposed a lack of pace, I think, in the Saints back line.
Yeah. They played really well. And like Daniel said, the biggest task for them now is for them to not believe their own hype and to just crack on and just carry on, which I think is what happened under Powell.
Yeah.
You know, they were top of the league after 8 weeks and, it was like Powell's in the pub drinking with them going, oh, we're going to win it and all that.
And then it went horribly wrong, didn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think that'll happen under Burgess.
I don't think that'll happen under Burgess as well. He has got them clicking.
Seems very level-headed as well, Sam Burgess. He's very sort of like... He's very sort of on the down low, if you like, that when they've been asked, he's just, oh yeah, you know, we're playing well, we're just getting this together, and he's not getting carried away with the start. I think he's like, no, there's a lot of work to be done within the squad.
Yeah.
And I think he's doing it quietly, efficiently, and you know, I think when he was signed as coach, people were laughing.
Yeah, I mean, he's done all right for a bloke with no coaching badges, hasn't he?
He's not laughing. No one's laughing now, are they?
No.
You know? In fact, this week he was touted as going back to the rabbit holes.
Yeah, I think that's just
speculation.
Putting two and getting five in it. So
500, I think. Oh, but yeah.
I won't go that far.
All right. But you know what I mean, though? It's not going to happen now, is it? You know?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. It definitely won't happen mid-season.
You mentioned Williams.
Yeah.
I thought, again, he was outstanding for Warrington. He drives them round the park. I think a big thing as well was that I thought, let's just go back to the game a minute. There was Saints were winning 6-4.
Yeah.
With about 3 minutes to go, and then Warrington got a penalty to level it up at 6-6, and you think, okay, well, they've levelled it up for half-time. And then he took the one point, didn't he? Right on the stroke of half time.
Yeah.
Psychologically, that's like could have been quite important.
Could have been big turning point in the game though. Was
go on.
Where Saints got a penalty, Benison slots it, it's 8-7, and from the kickoff, Lomax catches it and then takes his foot over the dead ball line, and they get a drop out. That changed the game. To give them the ball straight back from like that, from a dropout.
And they scored off that set,
immediately
didn't they?
After going in front. I think that it changed them.
In hindsight, they'd have actually been better off tapping.
Yeah.
And going for a try. Instead of 8-7 up, they find themselves 13-8 down.
Yeah, exactly.
But what I noticed in that, I just thought the whole body language and everything changed to both teams.
Yeah.
From that step out of touch.
Yeah. It was criminal, to be honest. Yeah. But,
well, should we see what Johnny had to say?
Yeah, let's see what Johnny Lou, our Saints fan, has to say.
What an awful performance. I really can't get over it. Like, it annoys me, and it still annoys me. Luckily, I'm busy at the minute, so I can't really think of it day in, day out like I normally would. But Jesus wept. That was one of the worst performances I've seen for about 6 years? No, yeah, definitely 6 years. It was definitely Cunningham era. It was genuinely woeful. The defence, it's something that I've not seen for a while. It's genuinely awful. And I couldn't believe what I've seen. I really couldn't. The fact that we had Johnny Lomax, after we'd just converted to go in front, he then was kicking off at his other mates because he made a mistake. Like, you're not saying to me that you don't know where that dead ball line is. He was looking at it beforehand, before he caught it. And then next thing, he's then kicking off that they didn't have it. Like, what are you doing? You are the captain and you're blaming other people. Like, you've set the precedent. And as soon as that happened, the game changed. And I can't say how much I hate this. Sorry about this. I'm near Heathrow Airport, so you've got a lot of aeroplanes in the background. I'm on training, and I apologise again. That was just a British Airways flight. But anyway, look, Saints, we need to sort it out. I think that game in itself triggered questions. It triggered it massively because I've been making excuses for a while and I couldn't excuse that loss. It was awful. And I think the victory for Warrington played well, but that was a disgrace. It was a disgrace to the sport. Yeah. And it was a disgrace to Saints. I'm pissed off, but luckily I'm busy. So I'll see you later and enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Well, there we go. Rugby league with a bit of plane spotting. Johnny is usually one of the most optimistic fans.
He's a Saints apologist, isn't he?
I know. And to be honest, I think he's that upset. He was lost for words.
He did,
which I never thought I'd see.
He did text me and asked us to say as well that he's still wallowing. That was his exact words.
Right.
Wallowing. So he still wants Paul Wellens to be, you know, to take the lead and still be there. But that was, he just, in that.
Okay, well, we've heard from both. So I think that leads to the question, were Warrington that good or were Saints that poor?
I think Saints were that poor from the Lomax moment. I think apart from that, I thought Warrington were pretty good. I thought they had the better of the game, particularly in the opening probably 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I think Saints then got back in it for the next 15 or 20. And then after that, I think Saints were really, really poor. And that's not taking anything away from Warrington, because I thought their execution and the way that they really sort of like put their foot on Saints' throat and stamped it down on it, I thought they'd really sensed that Saints weren't at the races and really capitalised on that. So you have to give Warrington full credit for that.
Yeah.
I think we've been very critical all year of Saints' attack, but we've been very positive in the way that we say that they grind out the games with the defence. This is a game where you've seen Saints with no attack and no defence, and this is the result you get, because if your defence lacks and you're not scoring, well, I mean, you've got nothing. You can't. You look at Wigan, who have the best of both in defence and attack, and you get that result. You have a game of Saints where you see them with no attack and no defence. You can see the contrast in the two teams just between those two games there.
They're a boring team, aren't they, Callum?
Yeah, I think so. And I also think that I don't think that Paul Wellens has been helped by, say, Mike Rush.
The CEO.
Yeah. And maybe the chairman in McManus. You look at the signings that they've brought in and how much he has to do with that, I don't know, but he's had to let go of Joey Lussick, and they brought in Moses Mbai, who I don't know what he is. I don't think he's that good. I think he was a panic buy. That was it. They didn't bring anybody in at the start of the season. They brought in midway through last.
And they brought the centre in, didn't they?
And then this season.
Oh, this season,
this
sorry.
This season, they've brought in Matt Whitley, second rower, who they didn't really need.
Yeah.
They didn't. They had Matautia, Siren and Batchelor. They didn't really need to bring Whitley in, as good a player as he is. And then they've brought in Wonga Blake, who is probably one of the worst overseas signings I've ever seen.
He's one of those Super League. He's one of those holiday players, isn't he?
He is the definition
of
that.
He's one of those players that thinks he can rip it up in Super League because he's played in the NRL.
Yeah, and he's just here for a jolly. And if rumours
and a night,
if the stories that
and a nightclub, good night out.
Yeah, if the rumours that you hear are to be believed. He wanted him earlier. He said no, he didn't want to come. He wanted to go to either the NRL, stay in the NRL or go to rugby union. That didn't work out. He's sort of come back and gone, oh, actually, can I come? And they've gone, yeah, all right then. Well, for me, if you don't want to come in the first place, then no, this is sorry, mate.
This is where I'm critical of our teams in taking people like that, our teams. But then I think a couple of things just to finish off this then. Just one of the biggest things to take out of that is I think it was important for us to find out that it was a British Airways flight.
Yeah.
I think that's really important.
Okay, great.
So thanks, Johnny. And I can't remember the other one, so we'll just leave that one there.
Okay.
Oh no, I know what it was. It was a Saints question, and it was about the Saints have been that good for the last 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an unrealistic expectation now from Saints fans?
No, I think that I don't think so, because I think at a club like St. Helens, I think that making finals is an absolute must for coach and players.
Yeah,
I don't think that's too demanding. I think at a club like St. Helens, it's the same for, say, Wigan.
Leeds.
Yeah. I think to... Not so much winning trophies, but making finals.
Being there or thereabouts.
Making finals is an absolute must. And if you're not making finals, you shouldn't be there.
And last question. How far or what can Warrington achieve this season?
I mean, ceiling's as high as it wants to be, I think.
Is it their year?
There's no reason why not. At the minute, they look really good.
Yeah,
they look probably the second best in the league.
One point, just to finish on, Daniel said he's not that bothered about the Challenge Cup because like two games, you win the semis or whatever.
Mm.
He'll still be at Wembley, won't he, if they get... Oh, yeah, come on, Daniel.
He's not saying that, I don't think. It's just, but he's right in what he says. You know, you've won two games and you're in a semi-final. A bit weird, but...
Yeah. I agree. But thanks. Some really good points there from all our... correspondence there. So, you know, thank you to Nathaniel and to Johnny and to Daniel.
Yep. And that's the end of the Challenge Cup quarterfinals.
It's Bobby's Stats of the Week.
Yes, it's Stats of the Week time. Now, I can't help but notice you were very, very quiet during that review.
He never said a word, did he? Just left it to us.
You were very quiet in that review. So have you gotten it?
I managed to get four.
Oh.
Let's hope these are better be the best four stats you've ever come out with on this pod now.
I can tell you right now, they are not.
Here we go.
I think we should get Reese.
Well, if you two hadn't ditched me for this concert you're going to tonight, I've had more time. I blame you.
I'm a changing man.
Right, okay. So, stat number one. The last time there was two draws in the same NRL round was all the way back in 2001. The Dragons and the Roosters drew 20 all, and the Raiders and the Broncos drew 26 all.
There was nearly a third one in that.
Yeah.
Apart from the Titans absolutely blew it big time against the Raiders.
Yeah.
And there was nearly a third.
Wow, well, I think it was two this week.
Yeah, after the golden point, yeah.
I think that includes the Titans based on that there was no golden point back then.
Ah, right.
So it was at 80 minutes there was two draws.
Right, maybe you should have said in 80 minutes then.
All right.
Sorry, I thought I did.
Okay.
Okay, stat number two. This weekend's win for Wigan over Castleford is their biggest in a Challenge Cup game since 2016. Back then they beat Dewsbury Rams 54-4.
Okay. Okay.
And... stat number three is the last time that Saints conceded 30-plus points in the Cup was 6 years ago, which is what Johnny Lee was picking up on in his review. Back in 2018, when they were the favourites to Catalans in the semi-finals, and they got beat 35-16. That was the last time they conceded 30 points in the Cup.
Yeah. Yes, I remember that.
Mm. That'd be one of those double headers, wouldn't it?
Yes, I think it was at Bolton. Mm. What year?
2018.
I think the other one was Leeds and Warrington, I think. Was it Leeds?
Yeah, because Hull?
No. Leeds and Hull? Leeds. Would have been Leeds
no,
and
no,
Hull.
No, it was Warrington because they beat Warrington in the final.
Yeah, that's right. It was Leeds and Warrington, I think.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And the last stat of the week, staying with Catalans, is surprisingly, in all the cup games they've played since 2019, they have only won 3 home games in that time in the cup. The wins come against Featherstone and 2 against Wakefield. So maybe teams you would expect them to have beaten. Mm. But they have now lost the last 4 consecutive home matches in the Challenge Cup.
Right.
You
wouldn't
think that, would you?
No. Excellent.
That it? That's it, yeah. I thought I had one for OKR, but I
couldn't be bothered.
Yeah. No, I thought I was onto something, and then they made the both semi-finals in 22 and 23, but never mind.
Well, so, no one's saying that's entertainment, are they?
I know he might be later on.
Yeah. They'll be better next week
if you remember to turn up
and you get up on time.
Well, we're not...
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a spoon.
Oh, sorry. You were telling me you control your talks. I didn't know if I was allowed to.
I do control your talks.
Have you managed to write the NRL scores down?
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to say the scores.
No, because you're going to mute me. You're going
to mute me. Trying to say the scores.
No, you're just going to mute me.
Ooh. Go on, I'm joking.
It's NRL time. Okay, so the Knights 20, the Roosters 22, the Storm 16, Bulldogs 14. The Dolphins crashed off the top of the table with a 28-14 loss to the Broncos. Did you see that the hammer is now out for 6 weeks?
Yeah, on a tackle that didn't even need to be made.
Yeah,
have you seen it?
They didn't pull the play back quick enough, did they?
And yeah. No, I don't think they heard the whistle.
Oh, right.
They so pulled Corey it pretty Oates. Quick, I think. But
yeah, so Corey Oates makes this break. The referee blows his whistle. Neither of them stop, and the hammer gets injured on tackling
pulled
him.
Pulled his hamstring, didn't yeah.
yeah. Apparently, yeah. It's hammer string.
Yeah.
He's done his hammer string.
I like it.
Very good.
Yes, a draw, which is very rare after extra time between the Warriors and the Seagulls, 22 each.
Yeah. I can't help thinking it's pretty poor if you can't knock over a drop goal in 10 minutes of golden point, isn't it?
I'd like to see you do it.
All right, then.
Let's see how you feel after, you know, in a couple of minutes. The Eels 27, the Cowboys 20. Callum, the Bunnies' woes continue, 34-22 to the Sharks.
Why do you keep telling me the Bunnies score?
Because you're a Bunnies fan.
I'm a Panther now.
Russell Crowe now?
Yeah.
I
may be tempted to come back with some free swag, Russell.
Yeah. Have you seen Russell Crowe's on tour, by the way?
Do we,
with his band. He's got a band.
Yeah.
Right. And he's playing places like Dublin, Amsterdam, Warrington.
What, is he playing in Warrington?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Think you'll have a meeting with Sam Burgess.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's what he's doing, isn't it? There you go.
No way.
His band's going to Warrington. He's playing all these massive arenas and then playing I think it's the Par Hall in Warrington.
Oh, he's defo having a meeting there, isn't he?
And Sam Burch said, hey, we're just good mates, you know, I'll be going watching. I'll
that like, yeah, but
that has
will.
Blown. Right, we need to write letters to people. Look at us.
Yeah?
Poirot over here.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Actually, you look more like Columbo.
I got that a lot. I got one of my teachers said that in high school, like see? Columbo.
Just one more thing.
Yeah.
He said, just used to go to school and do a little Mac.
He brought me. He brought me in a little coat once and said, "Here, I'll put this on."
How are we up to?
I don't know.
I've lost. I have to go through them all again. The Tigers 12, the Dragons 24. Shane Flanagan, super coach. I reckon he's, you know, giving them something. The Dragons have turned into an A-list team.
He's giving them something. Well, what are you implying there?
Well, he got done at the Sharks, didn't he?
Allegedly.
Shane, we didn't mean it. Like,
I don't think he's listening.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. Drugo.
There you go. And the final game of the week for the NRL was the Raiders 21, the Titans 20 after extra time. So, kick from the sideline to level it up. And I don't know if you saw this, but it was the worst golden point display I think I have ever seen from the Titans. It was terrible.
Right. So they got one attempt, forward, knocked it back to forward. I'm not kidding, right? It took that long, right? He would have needed to give Bobby a head start. Right? He took that long.
I thought I could have charged
right?
that down.
Then he charged it down, right? And then off they went. Then they got another chance with about 30 seconds to go, which he screws off to the corner flag somewhere.
Right.
Right, dead. Seven tackles set. 10 seconds later... the Raiders, wasn't it? The Raiders, like the winger.
Six,
the winger's just gone.
It was the halfback.
Yeah, he's gone. Right? He's gone 70 yards. They've passed it inside with like 3 seconds to go and they've scored a drop goal.
Wow.
To win it.
Honestly, wow. it was terrible. The only thing worse than that, and I don't know if either of you saw that, was going back to the Warriors and the Sea Eagles. Josh Aloi got a ban this week. I don't know if you've seen it. No. It was terrible. Honestly, I urge anybody to watch it because you think Super League give out bans. That is shocking. Sean Johnson milks it.
Does he?
His arms are down his side. Sean Johnson practically kicks him in the stomach and they ban him for a game saying it was a dangerous tackle. Oh, terrible. Well.
It might get a bit silly, that reel.
Mm.
What, kicking people in the stomach?
No, like they're trying to charge it down and... Like, I know the Ilias thing, he's, like, broke his leg. And that, you know, it is unfortunate. But that one, yeah, he doesn't really charge in at him, does he, as such? But you can see it getting play-acted on.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't get over that Russell Crowe thing. That's all I'm thinking about.
About Russell Crowe?
Yeah. Well. Just in Warrington, having a secret meeting.
Do you think...
And apparently he's dead hard to say no to, isn't he?
Yeah.
Apparently, like, come on, boys, and he invites them to, like, his ranch. I know he's not got a ranch in Warrington.
Yeah.
But, you know, and he's, like, schmoozes him.
Well, if he asked us to do the podcast over at his ranch, he'd say yeah, wouldn't you?
No.
50 no's and a not yes that. Means yes.
Do you think at the end of the concert, do you think he shouts, "Are you not entertained?"
No.
I definitely would if I was Russell Crowe, wouldn't you?
That's why you're not Russell Crowe.
Throw a sword out into the crowd, you know.
He's defo after Sam Burgess.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Anyway.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
Anyway, it's time for everybody's favourite segment. It's only in Rugby League and we'll hand... Oh, what?
Got a jingle yet?
You come up with one.
Well, you're having a go at me. I'm having a go at you.
At least I turned up on time.
Right. Without a jingle.
Right, but I was here. You turned up late and without your stats.
I get you, but did I do the stats?
Double whammy. Only just.
Did I have you stats?
You've got four crappy ones like in the middle of the review.
Okay. What? First only in rugby league. Podcast host fails to turn up the podcast.
To own podcast. Yeah. Right. Should we go then?
Yeah.
Okay, let's start. Let's head over to Castleford.
Okay.
Have you seen the Princess Street stand, the terracing?
Yeah, where they're starting the seats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, is that what IMG had in mind?
Yes.
Okay. Scrub that one off the list.
Have you got seats? Are you coming down?
Yeah. No.
Yes, we have seats.
Oh, actually, actually, we're in Wakefield to look at their new stand on that day. We could pop over.
We've got a game on.
The sportsmen are next, advertising the game against the quarter final game between Catalans and Hull KR, and not Catalans and Huddersfield.
Oh right, yeah.
Which I find a bit odd because you've only got eight teams to get right, haven't you?
I know, and they're usually pretty good at like they're all right then, but. Anyway.
Oh, there you go. And the beat back to the BBC.
And the what?
Back to the BBC, who then advertised Hull FC versus Lee Leopards.
Right.
I don't know who was playing. But it's also time to say thank you to all our submissions this week. The list grows. We've got Bri, we've got Stacey, we've got Lee the Lass, we've got Dean, we've got Forbidden Game, we've got DJ, we've got Tom Andrews, we've got Phil, we've got Connor, and we've got Johnny. And also, we've got a big shout-out this week that we promised that we'd do. We said we would give a shout-out to Ian, didn't we? Ian Sloan.
Mm, yes.
Because Ian commented for us. If you get a nice comment, you'll always get a shout-out. And Ian said we were by far the best rugby league podcast around.
Not close.
By far.
Not my words.
They're the words of Ian Sloan.
Exactly.
So thanks, Ian.
So,
Ian,
you know, be more like Ian.
Ian did actually send us a picture. He went to, I can't remember where it was, Doncaster. He went to Doncaster and his son had pictures with all the players. And he did put a little tag in for us that said, here's my picture of my son with Ben Reynolds. Which was even, he was a really nice top guy, even if he did have a head like a space raider. So, thanks, Ian. Brilliant.
Did he tag Ben Reynolds in the post?
No, he had the picture of him, though.
Oh, I was going to say, if he tagged.
Should we go to the comedy store that is Hull FC?
Yeah.
They had a press release this week announcing the departure of Tony Smith, except they spelt his name wrong.
Oh, yeah.
They put double I. So unlucky. Good effort there from Tony Smith.
Smythe. Would it become Smythe?
That's a Y, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's double.
Well, Tony
Smith.
Yeah.
Smythe.
He's not got to stammer.
I don't know.
Spells like it.
Yeah. The world of Twitter. It's a good one this week. Huddersfield Giants put a great video on. Have you seen all the videos of that Catalans media have put?
Oh, yeah.
Where they've put, if something's happened, they've put the badges on people's heads and they've like, had them knocking them out. And then Huddersfield returned the favour, didn't they, this week? Where, like some sort of karate kicking where Catalans have like kicked everybody down and then they come to Huddersfield and they get themselves knocked out.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yes, it was really, good on that, yeah.
Really, really, really good. I'm going to go to St. Helens. A friend of ours listens to the pod, Brendan, who commented, John Bennison. He kicked really well, didn't he? He kicked really well. Which Brendan has commented that even Fran Obotica wasn't a kicker when he first turned up. So, Fran O'Bennison, alongside Fran O'Smith that we had the other week, wasn't it?
Yes.
So there we go. So thank you for that, Brendan. The world of jobs, the world of volunteer jobs. Lee are looking for a volunteer poster deliverer.
Oh, not like to do Twitter.
No.
Oh.
No. They're looking for a volunteer poster deliverer to go and deliver posters for matches to the local area.
Right. Yeah. Poster deliverer.
Yeah. That's actually the title of the job.
It doesn't sound right, does it?
They ran out of bands to play now, so they need posters to get people in.
Poster delivery person.
Back to the BBC. I don't think you'd want to be playing for Wigan St Jude's, Callum. They had a busy weekend at 2:30 on Saturday. They were away at Mighton Warriors.
Mm.
And at 2:30 on Saturday, they were also away at Shawcross Sharks.
Oh.
Big club. Must have about 40 players.
I don't think they have, because they're A teams in our league and they've given up two games already this season.
Oh, have they really?
Yeah.
With one of them to you?
No.
Oh.
No. Nearly got 2 points there, didn't you?
No, 24-0, have that.
This is an interesting one, this one, from the RFL, and then picked up in a bit of a lazy journalism by the BBC. I'm not taking anything away from this achievement, Tara Jones.
Yes.
The referee, also plays for Saints Women.
Yeah.
Was announced as the first woman to referee a professional match in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Turns out to be untrue.
Oh, right.
Because Casey Badger refereed the World Cup match between Wales and Tonga.
Oh, yeah, she did, right. Yeah.
So the niche for the first gets a little bit less, doesn't it?
More niche.
Yeah, more niche.
Gets more niche.
So that was that. Huddersfield Twitter. Somebody said, now, obviously, we said about the television things, didn't we, for television coverage?
Yeah.
Before. Huddersfield's official Twitter put a tweet out going, "What's going on?"
Oh, yeah.
And then somebody else replied, said, "Don't know, can't see." Because it wasn't on telly, it was only on French radio.
Oh, it was only on French radio?
Yeah.
So, not even like BBC?
No.
Yorkshire or whatever?
Don't think so, no. Really? On French radio, yeah. So it was just...
That's shocking.
Somebody said, "What's going on?" They said, "Don't know, can't see."
Well, yeah. I mean, the game messed up for me as well, because I was... I go on that Flash Scores, and they had it down as a 7 o'clock kickoff,
right?
But it was six, and
ridiculous, isn't it?
That's appalling. Though,
can I pick up on the Challenge Cup draw? So when was the draw?
Half time
Sunday.
Yes.
Why have we got no venues? Why is it now Tuesday and they still haven't announced any venues for that? Surely you must be able to do a draw.
Without
knowing where, you know, you must have these in place in principle, mustn't you?
Yeah, because obviously they'll want to see who gets drawn against who, won't they?
I imagine one is going to be St. Helens now that they're out. But
there was a post of a draw. I'm not quite sure it was gone because it came from Forbidden Game, who posted me a picture that said the semi-final draw, Hull FC versus Wigan, Giants versus Wolves. They're desperate to keep Hull in this competition, aren't they?
I know. I know. Weird, isn't it?
Yeah, Pearson Media. I'm going to go to our very own Bobbles this week. Bobbles, do you want to explain your tweet about Richie Myler becoming the director of rugby at Hull FC on a 3-year contract?
Yeah, basically, I just said that it reminded me of when on an episode of The Simpsons where Mr. Burns is like leaving the power plant and the bank put Lenny in charge. And he's just sat there and he just buzzes and he goes, "Attention, everybody. Work harder. Bye." And then he just leans back in his chair.
Just before we move on a bit further, the venues have been released.
Oh, have they? I told you, we're recording early and it's all gone to pot, hasn't it? Do you want to say where they are?
Yeah, so Warrington are playing Huddersfield at St. Helens.
Okay.
Okay.
This one blows my mind, to be honest.
Let me guess. Go on.
So, obviously, the draw is Hull KR and Wigan.
I'd have gone Headingley.
Well, that was last year, so I'm going to say it's not that.
Hull FC, just keep them in it.
Yeah. Is it at Wigan?
No.
I don't know, Bolton.
Warrington.
No.
Huddersfield.
No.
Doncaster.
Yep.
What?
Doncaster.
That's a trip. That's a trek for Wigan fans, isn't it?
It's not a good venue, that is it.
No,
Headingley, Huddersfield.
I also firmly believe that these semi-finals should be kept within rugby league, owned grounds, if you like, as well.
I'd have thought Headingley, or if you wanted to be really ambitious, Huddersfield.
Headingley's Huddersfield's a lot easier to get to for two sets of fans down the motorway.
Yeah.
Doncaster's a right trek to get to from, you know, it's cross country.
Headingley would have been good if you're talking about keeping it at rugby league grounds.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Anyway, just before we move on to rugby league, comment on Richie Myler, because we've not spoke about Super League this week, but Richie Myler becoming director of rugby at Hull.
Yeah, madness.
Yeah.
What are his qualifications for that job?
Or is same it? As Sam Burgess's at Warrington.
And that worked. That's working out all right.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it might turn
it could be
around.
A fresh approach they need.
What, though? I don't get it.
Usually your director of rugby is somebody that's like maybe finished coaching, or they've moved upstairs, or they've got a lot more experience. Yeah, you know,
person, aren't
someone
they?
Like John Keir, for example, or someone like that, maybe. Yeah.
Or you know. Tim Sheens when he did it at OKR.
Yeah. I think Tony Smith's done the same role, I think, before as well.
Just so, what is he going to be in charge of? Signings, transfers? I don't know.
It's all very odd, isn't it?
Culture, because he's not the most like. No. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I just think they're probably doing because he's got a fantastic track record of making excellent decisions.
Yeah.
So
I just don't.
Oh no, he hasn't. No.
Bizarre.
All right, shall I carry on?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Wigan's ticket office.
Again.
They've announced this week, you'd be glad to know this, the distribution of is underway of all season tickets.
Wow, well done.
Well done. 41 days into the season, well done. They had the match against Castleford on Sunday, yeah?
Yep.
The tickets said 11 a.m. set off. The drivers were all towed 12. People were there from 20 past 10, and they set off just after 12.
Oh, you'd be fuming, wouldn't you?
And cold.
Unless it was sunny.
But also, they were advertising the Cass tickets for sale. In 5 days, we go to Cass, get your tickets here, right?
Right.
Which St. Helens responded with, we go to Cass in a month, get your tickets here.
Oh dear!
Which I thought was a good one. Okay, and also in Wigan ticket news, they've also come up with a new digital fixture calendar. So get all your info and all your tickets and everything right here.
Oh yeah,
you should have seen the replies.
Right.
Basically, get your shit sorted out with all these tickets first. That was all the sort of replies.
Oh, really. Okay, yeah, there fair enough. Go. Fair point. Yeah,
fair point. Right, last few this week. Quite a week this week. We only got 20 odd. Let's go over to the NRL. Let's go around to Newcastle Knights and an interview with Kalyn Ponga after the game. To which Kalyn Ponga they said. The interviewer said, how was the injury? Did you think that you played through the pain barrier? Did you think you were going to have to come off? Which Kalyn Ponga replied, no, I'm never going to pull myself off. And then he went, oh, I've just realised how that sounds. Yeah. So like that. Let's go back over to Lee and more specifically Josh Charnley. If you're worried about those buckets, Josh Charnley put a tweet out this week saying, has anybody noticed how their sky and mine's gone up from £121 a month to £170?
Well, we know what them buckets are funding then, don't
we? We do. So
I'll tell you what you need, Josh. Dodgy fire stick. Yeah. I'm sure he knows somebody.
What, and they're going to tarmac his drive as well? Is that what you're saying?
He definitely knows somebody who does dodgy fire sticks.
Yeah, and buckets. Definitely. Let's go over to Hull KR and let's go over to Joe Burgess. So Joe Burgess this week was talking about like a game from history, and which he replied to Dave Woods. I think it was Dave Woods, and he said, I don't know about that. I was still in my dad's buds when that happened. I think it was Dave Woods. He was absolutely flabbergasted.
It was the pause after.
Yeah, he just didn't know what to say, did he? Absolutely hilarious. Let's go. We've got a couple to finish off. Lee's Twitter back in this week.
Okay.
Now, you said that they got a late try, didn't you, in that game, Hull KR?
Yeah.
Lee's Twitter didn't account for that and posted the full-time score was Hull KR 20, the Leopards 12.
They must have had it ready to go.
Did he even get the Lee score right?
No. Yeah, they put it on as 20-12, I think. Oh.
They
must have made the picture up.
They missed the last try. Also in the world of Twitter, we're back to Halifax.
Okay.
They love it, don't they, Halifax? So they put two tweets on because they played Bradford on a weekend.
Mm.
And the two tweets, one after the other, within 26 seconds of each other. The first one says, but equally as comical, 79 minutes, but equally as comical, facts are penalised in possession as Fairbank is pulled for obstruction. Hooter can't come soon enough. 34-14. Followed 26 seconds later by 79, last tackle grubber, rolls dead, and the Panthers line holds. And just like at Oddsall, almost comically, fact get our first penalty of the second half with 40 seconds left. Not that it will matter. They love it, don't they? They're more bitter than Lee Halifax's Twitter, aren't they? I love it.
Set by set coverage is the brief.
Yeah. Manny, you said that about that Lee one where they've got the score wrong. I mean, Derek did insist it got better.
Mm.
And it has got better because they've gained 6 points.
Yeah.
So, well done. Closer. And then the last one of the week that I want to mention is, for some reason, Oddsall this day at Bradford this week, there was a horse running around the ground. On Grand National Day, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So there's a horse running around the ground. I have absolutely no idea why. I don't know if it's anything to do with Josh Charnley. I don't know what was going on. But it's not the first time. So, I think you commented, Bobby, didn't you? It's better than Bulls on the pitch. Not the Bulls, the Catalan Bulls, yeah. But then it was also pointed out it's not the first time they had wildlife on the ground, because in the Great Britain versus New Zealand test in 1975, New Zealand ran out to the sight of a live lion that was on the pitch, which was on loan from Flamingoland. All that I could think of was that Joe Exotic, you know?
Carol Baskin. Yeah. Hey, oh, you cool cats and kittens.
Yeah. Actually, didn't you do one for Keithley but called it like something else? Kylie or something. Kylie, yeah, yeah, Kylie, yeah. You cool cats and kittens at Kylie, yeah.
God.
And that was Only in Rugby League.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
The Only Rugby League Podcast Predictions League, 6 again.
Yes, the Predictions League is back for this week. Normal service has resumed, and obviously we are joined by Bri from Six Again. Bri, how are we this week?
New gentlemen, not too bad, thank you. How are you?
New, Bri.
Yes, brilliant.
Do you want to talk about football before we go any further, Bri?
No.
Okay.
That was like an Harry Enfield sketch, that, wasn't it?
No. Yeah, we'll leave football then.
Yeah, yeah. Just let's fly past it. Yes. Yeah, it didn't happen. Well, it did happen, but it didn't happen, and let's move on.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Why don't we give the people a very quick reminder of what the league table looks like, bro?
Yeah, bottom of the league, Lee. They're only 2 points behind London. Callum, you're in seventh. You're 20 points off top. You are 3 points behind Bobby, who's in fifth, who is a point behind Andy, who's in second, who is 2 points behind myself. Andy's in third, I'm in second. And the insiders are top with a 14-point gap.
It should be allowed, the insiders. I think we should ditch
him. We need a Duff insider this week, don't we?
We need to ditch him. It's like inside knowledge. It's gambling. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
You can't put bets on, so why should they be allowed to do predictions?
I'll
get maths on for next week.
We need to like transfer Phil from Salford to the insiders for a week or something.
Loan move.
Yeah.
2 week loan.
Yeah. Brilliant.
So this week, boys, we have got playing Steve for Castleford, Dean for Catalan, Cowbell for Huddersfield, Cadden for Hull FC, Stacey for KR, Jordan for Leeds, Caddy for Lee, Ian for London, Louise for Salford, Johnny Lewis for Saints, a loose wire for Warrington, Gary for Wigan, and for the insiders this week, welcome back, James O'Brien.
Welcome to James.
Are we ready then, boys?
Yes.
Okay, there's three games on Friday and there's three games on Saturday. First up on Friday at 8 o'clock, it's on Sky Sports Action. It's Leeds v Huddersfield.
Tricky one, I think, to start with. Just, you would think that Huddersfield coming off the back of that and Leeds not playing very well. You would think Huddersfield. I'm going to say Huddersfield by 10.
I'll say Huddersfield by 8.
I'm a bit stuck on this one because emotionally, physically, it takes a lot. Leeds have had a week off.
Yeah.
But they're just not playing really well, are they?
No.
So I'll go Huddersfield 6 just to go in with the crowd.
Bah.
I know. I do feel a bit like that because I was going to go Leeds.
Right. Do it.
And I've gone Leeds by 6. Do you know when I get all these scores and then I tell you all who's got what and stuff, and I write them all, I write like the majority of them down, and this morning I was doing that, and
right,
I thought, you
right,
know what,
right,
Bobby's
right.
Bobby, yeah?
Right, stop there, I'm going Leeds by 8. I'm getting sick about being a sheep, I'm going for Leeds by 8.
I hope Huddersfield win by 6 now.
That would be amazing.
I really hope they win by 6.
Oh, that changed. Huddersfield right.
By 6. Can we? I'm gonna put an asterisk on that.
Yeah, all right.
Leeds by 8, Huddersfield by 6. Yeah. I write them all down, and you know, I think, you know what, Bobby's gonna say something, and he's gonna say something, and he's gonna go, "Ah, no." Every week it happens. Well, Bobby, you're now 1 of 6. You've gone Huddersfield by 8.
Ah, no.
Andy, you're now 1 of 3. You've gone Leeds by 8.
We're all going to be right.
With Hull FC and Leeds. Okay. Next up on Friday, it's on Sky Sports Mix and the Super League Plus. It's St. Helens v Hull FC.
Again, I'm stuck because everyone's putting 50 on Hull, but Saints attack surely can't put 50 on them. I just don't see it. I can see Saints winning, but I'm gonna go Saints by 28,
and I'm gonna go Saints by 30 because I think it'll end up something like 36-6 or something like that.
I'm gonna say 38.
And I've gone Saints by 16. Wigan have also gone Saints by 16. We've got two who've gone Saints by 22. Warrington and Saints. And Callum, you're now 1 of 3. You've gone Saints by 38 with Leeds and Castleford.
Okie doke.
Speaking of Castleford, they're playing Wigan away on Friday at 8 o'clock. It's on Sky Sports Arena and Super League Plus.
I think they'll do better than last week. So I'll go Wigan by 48.
I'll go Wigan by 44.
I'll go Wigan by 52.
I've gone Wigan by 34. We've got two who've gone Wigan by 54. One's Leeds and one is Lee.
Okie doke.
What have Cass gone?
Wigan by 20. And on that, optimistic. Wigan have gone Wigan by 24.
Optimistic, innit? Can I just point out on these games, right? You've just said there, three games on the Friday. Yeah. All kicking off at the same time.
8 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a point in having them on telly.
Exactly that. And then on the Saturday, I think we go to two at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, what was going on?
I don't know.
Why can't we just stagger these times around a bit?
Don't know.
Where's the Thursday game?
I don't understand it, especially after a Challenge Cup week.
Yeah. There's no excuse, is there, really? No. They've had a week off. One Thursday game, couple on Friday. One on a Saturday, couple on Sunday.
Yep.
Having said that, the only one that you could have put on Thursday that haven't played in a Challenge Cup game is London Salford.
Yeah.
Still, it's rugby. It's still better than having nothing.
It's still a game on telly where there's nobody else on.
It's a bit harsh on fans, though.
Just put Wigan Castleford on.
Yeah. No. You can't do that. It's not important, anyway.
No, but anyway.
Just to say, on Friday, two of them games are double headers with the start of the Women's Super League. On Friday, Leeds v Huddersfield Women is before Leeds v Huddersfield. And on the Wigan game, Wigan are playing Barrow ladies before Wigan v Castleford. So if you can get down to Headingley early, that'd be good. And also, obviously, if you've got your season ticket, yeah, you might just want to not join the queue and go in a bit earlier. Out Wigan.
Okie dokie.
On Saturday, 3 o'clock, as Andy said, Sky Sports Arena and Super League Plus. It's London v Salford.
Salford by 32.
Salford by 36.
I just wrote that down.
Unlucky.
Just, you saw me write it down.
Maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
Salford by 38.
And I've gone Salford by 22. Everyone's gone Salford, really, except for London. We've gone London by 6.
Well done.
Brilliant.
The other 3 o'clock game on Saturday is on Sky Sports Main Event and Action, and it's Warrington v Lee.
Yeah, we said about Lee trying to maybe kick on from that close game they had with OKR, but I think Warrington are too good. I think their attack is really good, so I'm going to go Warrington by 14.
And I'll go Warrington 12.
Warrington 20.
And I've gone Warrington by 18. We've got, did you say 18, Bobby?
No, 14, mate.
14, sorry. We've got four. You've gone Warrington by 16. They are Castleford, Lee, Saints and Warrington. And we've got three. You've gone Warrington by 12, Huddersfield, London and Salford. And lastly, on Saturday, it's on Sky Sports Action and Super League Plus, 5:30 kickoff, UK time. It's Catalan v Hull KR.
Tough one, this, isn't it? Do Catalans bounce back, or do Hull KR carry on their winning ways? I'm going to go for a Catalan bounce back, because I don't think they can be as bad as that at home again, like they were against Huddersfield. I'm going to go Catalan by 10.
I'm going to go Catalan 8.
I'm going to go Hull KR 8.
And I've gone Catalan by 8. There's three. You've gone Catalan by six, which are Lee, London and Salford. We do have two others who've gone for Hull KR. One is St. Helens, who've gone Hull KR by two. And Hull KR themselves have gone Hull KR by four.
Okay.
And that's it, boys.
Okay, thanks, well, there we have it. Thank you very much, Bri. Well, I think that just about wraps up the episode for this week. You stayed with us all this time, then thank you very much. Good luck to everybody participating in the Predictions League. And, of course, if you're going to any games this weekend, then stay safe and enjoy. But from all of us here at the Only in Rugby League podcast for this week, it's goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.